Michael Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about making a complaint. It seems quite a simple process that something's not quite right. You find it's not to your liking and you make a complaint, and at least people know there's a problem. This is if it's a service, and that should be the end of the story. It either gets resolved till you're satisfied or it doesn't. But as I go on in life, things have become far, far more complex. So I'll discuss this. And I sort of understand the complaint happening in your ecosystem of your environment, how it affects others, and how it's handled within a mechanism to handle complaints, and how that is ideally set up to focus to handle on complaints. But often administrations, that's sort of the way the poison gets into administrations or any organization. That's when a complaint's made, it's an open license to disregard the rules for a moment and advance a side of an agenda. So let's go into the complaint situation. So I'm here in Newcastle, and I've got, I'd say a bit over an hour to do various podcasts sitting here in my car outside the hotel. I've checked out, and it is actually a hotel complaint. Well, not really a complaint, but I've got this time to do it here. It's gently raining outside, so I can't, it's not a really fun place to walk around when it's raining. So you may hear some traffic go past, but it's a fairly quiet Sunday mid-morning as I'm waiting to pick up my wife from a conference and move on. So there you have the situation. It's a conference, and it's a residential conference over the weekend. So going Friday, saying Friday, Saturday, and we're leaving on Sunday morning. And it's a blindness convention. So it's a whole heap of blindness people, blind people, citizens, and agencies coming together to just chew the fat and get through various issues. And of course, the issues never seem to finish there. But it's sort of an interesting group because they know they have a problem, they're identified having a problem, and they can see other people can't see them having a problem. Now, this is distinct from other groups, I mean, which they themselves have a conceptual problem, a way of not being able to see that they have a problem. And they're a group nonetheless, but they come and they go, and the problems never get really chewed about, resolved, or relationships made to improve their life. But this is very different in terms of that there's sort of key networking, gentle times, and some of the settings are very much different. So there's very much, if you want to speak to someone or have a conversation with someone, they've also got a job to do networking, so you can't sort of ask too many questions or load them up with too much information. So you've got to be aware that they're doing a job and you've got your ecosystem. So we come up to the complaint. So I was sort of took people to the various meeting rooms, went upstairs, came out, and there I saw the cleaner from the house, sort of servicing cleaner house, with a dinner plate, and she Windexed it. This is a little spray on it, sprayed it, polished it up, saw a mark on it, polished it a bit more, and then returned it into the room. And so this is actually not dinner plates in the room, but if you have room services and stuff like that, you can accumulate cutlery up there, or if you take some nibblies from breakfast up, you know, on a plate, there's that type of stuff there. And of course, the instant thing was, oh, that's gross. That, like, I wouldn't be able to get away with that at home. It was getting a dinner plate, wiping the rubbish off it, squirting it, and putting it away. There's, you know, I would be absolutely crucified. Now, of course, with blind people, there's sort of a second thing in terms of the assumption that if you're caught doing something, you know, this is just part of the deal. If you're caught doing something, it's assumed, it would be assumed that you've always done it. And so there the entire thing was, oh dear, if I tell people about it, it will not be interpreted properly and cause pandemonium, sort of upset. Now already there's some people, unsympathetic people, who are saying, oh, the price at this restaurant is too much, blah, 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 the food. But it's being a blindness convention. It's just really hard to get a whole heap of blind people to go through a city which has got all this roadworks in it, so to move places. And there's this very much thing that it's the hotel restaurant, so when people arrive, they can see the group there, and it can happen. So there's certain things that you do and don't do. The sort of very nuanced. Okay, so straight out, what you generally do if you've seen a complaint, you tend to verify the complaint with your friends and say, is this right? Can you tell me, get me some feedback about what I should do? But that wasn't an option. And so this was very much in the left in the processing thing. This is a problem. I then met I suppose he is a robotic scientist, someone I knew up here, and with his wife, and I mentioned, this is later in that day, I'd gone to the fantastic Newcastle Library to practice out writing an essay. I would just sit and write up about 6 pages of an essay or more on, I don't know, what was it, it's about giftedness and, I should reread it. Usually what happens is I reread these things and I say, that's utter garbage, and it helps me to go through. But they took me off to Beautiful Cafe in Newcastle. So Newcastle's like the most idyllic, it's what everyone would think of an Australian city. So it's got sort of an old convict past, a bit of history, a bit of few hills, a bit of decaying industry, and then just beaches everywhere. You know, there's just beaches all over it. It's sort of like the Hunter River, which is in Newcastle, comes out and flows into the sea. And it's a big river coming, so people, it's a river port. Big container ships come in, and on either side of the river is the river bank. And sort of Newcastle's actually built on a riverbank jutting out to the sea. So on the other side of Newcastle are these beautiful surf beaches, and it's a bit of a laid back. It's only north of Sydney, and the kids can study marine science at school in year 7 to 10. They can that is they go out snorkeling. They can't scuba. There's certain things that their education department isn't allowed to do, but they scuba dive and visit aquariums and find out about sharks, and, you know, so that general coast, sort of idyllic place. But meet these people, and this Narelle, a very, very sharp woman, said, hey, you should complain. And I think that sort of put me on to the next thing. Okay, so I have my worries about, count my worries. There's the effect of a complaint on the morale of the convention. There is a serious risk of disease and food outbreak, as far as I could see at this point in time. I'd now have to add to this that I have an obligation to complain, which is like any duty of care. So if you see a bomb about to go off in a city, you can't say, oh, it's not my responsibility, I've got to go off. Or you see a live power line. Once you, it's like a doctor or a policeman. So if you're a doctor, you automatically have a duty of care due to your understanding. Or another example is that you could be a taekwondo person, and, you know, a black belt. And the thing is, a black belt, their hands are then classed by the law as a lethal weapon. So what actually happens, you get your black belt, but then legally you are now carrying a there's a car backing up, hopefully it won't crash into me. Okay, so there's all these things that if you know about germs and stuff like that, and you know enough, you have this responsibility to complain. So there it was. I said, okay, well, I'll process this. And I also know that complaints, I've now been enough in the system or observed systems where complaints are successfully owned by a manager to harass a particular staff to get an agenda happening anyway. This is something that it's an outside thing which can be shaped, and so there's sort of complaint abuse within a management structure and then within an organization. So I have seen or have heard that if they're waiting for to do the dirty on an organization, to push it out of business or to harass it or stuff like that, they will start to lodge complaints and get inspected so often that they can't do the business. Or there's all this type of stuff. So there's two levels of real-world complaint mismanagement. One is directly onto workers, i.e. that if the particular person's a friend of the staff, it's managed well, but if they're not a friend of the staff, it's managed very bad, and you feel, oh, you all have problems, then the actual organisation itself may have say, for instance, someone may want to buy the hotel site, they then side with the council. I'm not saying this is happening at all, but it often does happen that they, in order to get their people, they've bought a few sites around the place and have paid for things and got their friends up and buddy, and then when the complaint cycle happens, the person's fighting an uphill battle. It's all part of social thing. So companies know this and pay for this executives to wine and dine and get into these social flavour of things. But you've got to be aware that for such a trivial thing, it could trigger all these things. So there's destruction of the morale of the conference. Often lashbacks, people, if it doesn't appear a good complaint, it will swell back, and people who want to push against the complainant, even though you've seen something, oh my god, this is here, that's on that level. Then there's the immediate employment level, and then there's the business level, where in the real world we have this complex complaint thing. I really do think we have to we've established a society, and this is something to work on and improve and ensure and enable it's held. Now there's group which handles complaints all the time, and that's the police. If something doesn't happen right, people complain to the police, and they have this complaint. Their mode of operation is handling that fairly and evenly, so they're still in the game. So I really think that has to go forward. So let's go to the next sequence in the evening. Got to prepare, I'm in people's rooms, and I've got to prepare cups of coffee for them. And there's, two cups, but there's the cups which I've brought up from the cafeteria, the restaurant. In helping, so there's cups there, so I know that I've taken those cups up and they were dirty and that they have been Windexed. I now think, oh my god, this Windex is a thing for we have for window cleaning. You spray it and the person has actually washed it, they have actually applied this thing and scraped it up, and it looks clean, and I've got to go, I have to make a cup of coffee in this person, I have to do it. So I made them a cup of coffee, going, this is getting a bit too hard for me intellectually, because I think now what I'm doing is a dangerous act. I've got to go and push this through. So I did it nonetheless, and I said, no, what I can do, And this is what I did. I checked out. I said, look, what I'd like to do is have just a very quiet, confidential word with the manager. And to my surprise, the checkout person, it's quite confidential. Checking out, I'd like to have a quiet word afterwards, after I've put everything away, I'd like to come back and just do a quiet, I didn't say quiet, still confidential comment. She said, oh, would you like to speak to the manager? I said, yes, in actual fact. And so I was rather surprised. But then, as I walked out, they said, oh, look, that very nice man. So at least walking into the situation, I'm actually in the place where I should be, a nice, considerate person. And they're, somehow they've picked that up. And I've been very, sort of chatting with the staff and I don't know, having been in military training and stuff like that, you can see people having a go, but they're just not trained properly. So there's just a few people trying to do jobs, and they're just not trained properly to their jobs. So and often there's a lot of stress put on people, but the training hasn't been there. So what happened, I went out, gave the thing, then I came back in, and the manager was there, and I said, look, I'd like to talk about the thing. And they knew, sort of strangely, they said, I should sit quietly in the bar. I thought, it's quiet, we can sit in the bar. And there was a manager there, it was all okay. And I said, I described it. I went up and I saw this person Windexing, and she listened very, very quietly. And I said completely. And then I explained to her that often these complaints, can have an effect like this, and I seem to understand all that. And then when she's listened to all of it, she said, what she's sort of squirting with is not Windex, it's a special product approved by the Hotel Association to squirt onto plates so they can come around and just squirt them and clean them. And it's been tested, and they come and test our chemicals, that the chemicals are up to standard, and that's the standard thing that happens in hotels. But I can fully understand how you thought, who would think this is unusual. And then we had a little bit of conversation. She's very polite, and 100% knowing and 100% appreciative that I wasn't in the breakup of people. And we sort of went through, I went roughly through saying that there's sort of 20% of people with a genuine complaint. There's another 30%, and there's, went through the different categories, and there's a good sizable fractions of people with personal problems, that they're not functioning properly, and part of their process, my process is complaining. And I thank you very much. Now, what I will do is quietly research. Like, there's lots of things I'm finding out that I go, don't quite fully understand that. So there is a chemical that you can squirt on plates and clean them up and polish them, as you would polish a bench surface or something like that. It's fully tested. I don't know whether I would want to necessarily eat off it's like the informed consent of it, but that happens in all hotels. It sort of just gets my mind, but it wasn't going to cause any hassle or anything like that. This is something that people in general don't know. Now, it sort of comes up to the way that we have a view of how the world operates, sort of a consumer fantasy which we operate, that people shop assistants are nice. They're just not trained nice, and that's not their job. I don't know. And people's, I don't know, and people tend to take advice and information from anywhere, sometimes to take official information and not, and very few people tend to really go through things in detail. One of the things that I had begun reading, I read it for the first time at the meal tonight last, so that's resolved, that one. However, it's opened up another sort of can of worms, that the idea that not everyone operates ethically, thinking through things, and not everyone goes into the detail of things. So I'm now off in the detail of working out whether it's right, and the risk that would have come around where I would have been hit if I did a complaint is because it would be seen, oh, I'm just not like everybody else who just goes with the flow. I just do check things out. And, you know, look, it could be very worthwhile. But it is interesting that that sort of thing goes across. Another quick example for people who have been, maybe a few people out here who've listened to the World Atlas of Cheese and the Exploration of Milk. There was a white wine at the dinner. And look, no comments about the dinner or anything like that, but the white wine, and it said, contains milk. And, yeah. What? At the back, and it says, fining agent, F-I-N-I-N-G, agent, colon, milk. And, so I was sitting next to a statistician, and it's very interesting to see him work in terms of if he saw one thing, he would then check everything else to check the frequency. It was just really entertaining, but he had never heard of adding milk to white wine, particularly to white wine, and stuff like that. And we had just quiet, discreet conversation, and overheard by someone who's a retired engineer, I was with, and... of course, and what they do is for wine is that they pour milk through it again, and that's some agent in there. I would have to probably guess the albumin molecule protein in milk in a way would actually go through and cause the particulate or cloudiness of the which records visual scattering inside your wine would remove it and make it look appear very clear liquid. How did you get the milk out of it? How did you get the it would be, as far as I could see, would be like a flocculant that you add through your wine, is adding a dash of milk, and I don't know what you do, how you'd be just enough milk. There would be probably one drop of milk. Obviously, water, milk and water, the dispersion, the I can't imagine the fat working very well, you know. But in the wine environment, is a very way to go. But there's another discrete thing, and it's the, I suppose, trying to mother information across, and just generally, if you've got a greater appetite for information or observation, that's managing it to go through. And the ethical responsibility of someone who can observe things, someone who can be on the Titanic and sort of ask these questions, obviously not enough. But in general, a lot of the, if you read through the detailed books about Three Mile Island or Chernobyl or, these are disasters which happen, but then on the other hand, there's these stories of disasters which have been averted. There's been this interplay between this disaster which is going to happen and these signs, and this person's been sensitive to the signs, and the group around them which are trying to balance. And I think it's very much like anything, any organic biological system, you're going to get the odd neurons starting to give false positives, and it's just trying to, the false positive, dealing with that false positive is part of the feedback mechanism which fine-tunes things. So even a few false positives is actually quite good, because it lifts, this is in a biological system, moving forward. It's just, I think we have moved off from an appreciation of these false negatives, or what you'd call noise information. People would consider worrying about how hotel plates are cleaned and milk and wine as intellectual noise, i.e. you don't need it. We fundamentally don't need to know the correct periodic table. No one needs, so sorry, that's another thing that would be an example of, let's really study the periodic table. Oh, our chief, the government authority who is giving periodic tables to every classroom in Australia is giving the incorrect one. There's elements in the incorrect thing. Now, it can be seen that from one aspect, that the signal is a noisy signal, that people don't want to know this, they don't care, it doesn't mean anything, it doesn't go like that. But in the scenario, the actual way that that noise is managed, so it doesn't necessarily have to create the organism to, which I say is the social organism, to change behaviour, to change direction, but it has to be sensitised to it. It's sort of like an itchiness on your nose. You have to make sure that itchiness goes through to the brain and is processed. It may be you might want to scratch the itch or ignore the itch, but it's much more dangerous dealing with itchiness by not putting on sunscreen, anti-itch cream, or stopping the mites, or getting psychological counsel, but just cutting the nerve, which is the same solution, but do you want to go here? So it's, I suppose it's a very long-winded and full discussion of a guarded complaint, and what I think is a major thing inside me is that no, the system hasn't changed. The majority of people haven't understood, but I've learnt not to make naive complaints, not to control my cognitive noise going forward, questioning these things, to keep it within a boundary and for it to have maximum benefit, which is, I suppose, discussing in podcasts, thinking about it, and developing longer-term strategies to deal with things. Thanks a lot for listening. This is Pedagogical Explains. Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.